Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Donnie Football with you until 2 o'clock. Austin Bechtold behind the glass. Austin, we have some breaking news.
Oh, boy. Lay it on me.
The Duquesne Dukes have won a basketball game. Put them up.
There we go.
Put up your Dukes.
Put up your Dukes.
A 67-54 win against Old Dominion this morning at the John Gray Gymnasium in the Cayman Islands. That sounds like a nice little trip for the Dukes, for Drew Joyce and the boys. So they get a victory to open up the day. I was also just looking at the college hoops schedule. There are some bangers later today. Houston and Alabama at 8 o'clock. Kansas and Duke at 9 o'clock. Auburn and North Carolina at 11.
Can I stay up and watch that one?
Ooh, buddy.
We'll find out. I couldn't stay up until 2 a.m. to watch Carolina last night.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to. I don't think I could stay up through that North Carolina game. I'm getting old. I do have the day off tomorrow, baby. The possibilities are endless.
Wow, you have any good plans?
A rare off day. I think Sarah and I have a little like breakfast date in store. Maybe get some Christmas decorating.
Wow, the day before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, we could either do that tomorrow, maybe like a little half and half, do that tomorrow a little bit, or Saturday, since we don't have a high school game on Saturday, we have one Friday night in Altoona, by the way, Bishop McDevitt and Pine Richland, the Class 5A semifinals. You can listen to that on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA. Shameless little plug there, our high school football game of the week. So maybe a little bit on Saturday, too. So a little before and after Thanksgiving decorating. See, I don't really fault anybody if they have a busy schedule, like maybe just work is crazy or they have kids or whatever, like activities to go to. When people decorate a little bit before Thanksgiving, like maybe it's a weekend or two before Thanksgiving, but that's like the only good shot they have until it gets into December. well, to decorate for Christmas.
Thanksgiving's also later this year.
Yeah.
I mean, to have Thanksgiving on, what, the 28th? That's a late Thanksgiving. Almost as late as you can get.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I would understand it. There's some people on my street that already have their lights up.
I saw a few people in the neighborhood that have the decorations up.
I'm a staunch, we don't decorate until the day after Thanksgiving type of guy. We get all the boxes out of the attic on Black Friday, the day after, sometimes Saturday, sometimes Sunday before the game, and then we go to work.
A little Bechtold family tradition there.
Oh, Donnie, you got to see the Bechtold household all lit up for Christmas. We have like three trees, all kind of outdoor lights and decorations. Our house looks like one of those light show festivals.
Man, you're like Clark Griswold over there.
Maybe not that extreme, but we have nice little snowflake lights and trees and spiral lights that we put outside.
Do you actually get up on the roof like with your old man and you put some lights up there, or...
Well,
does he go up there? It's like he's got to be like the dad mode, like, oh, let me get up on the ladder.
That's correct. My dad is the one that handles all the outside lights. Year after year after year, I've done more and more with the decorating. And if there's something that I don't get to do, sometimes I get like upset that I didn't get to do it decorating wise. But he's kind of thrown a lot of stuff at me to do decorating. So it'll probably be a 50-50 balance this year, if not 60-40.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll maybe take care of some of that tomorrow, but yeah, I got a lot of days to use. Like it's one of those, like,
me too.
Yeah, like use them or lose them type deal. You know, the sick days accrue year after year. Like I got like 2 months worth of sick days, I think, based on the last couple of years, since I almost never use one, and I've just kind of been sitting on a bunch of days to use. So December, I'm gonna be out of commission for like half of December. Going to be kind of nice, just kind of sit up and relax a little bit.
You should go visit Ron down on the golf course.
Sarah does have family down in Tampa. I think I remember I mentioned that to Ron because after his retirement, we were going down to visit them earlier this year, like right after he retired and was heading right down there. And he, in a nice way, basically said, no, please don't come bother me. I want to just enjoy this retirement. He said, like, oh, I think you'll be a little bit too far away.
Donnie, we can drink a beer together at lunch. It will be so nice. We could sit out at the pier and watch the sailboats.
Because I said, oh, Ron, like, you'll be in Fort Myers. Like, I'm going to Tampa in a few weeks. Like, I don't know, you know, how far away that is. He goes, oh, I think it's a little bit too far. That was basically my mind at that point was like, okay, this guy does not want to be bothered once he's retired, which, hey, I can't really blame him. It sounds pretty nice to just be kind of chilling by a beach at this time of the year. Fan text line, that's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We will have Mo Egger from ESPN Radio in Cincinnati joining us in a few minutes. As sort of a Bengals expert, a look on the other side. There's some fear going into this game. I think there should be if you're a Steeler fan, because I don't want to use the term must win. I feel like that gets overused when it comes to football games or just sporting events in general. Like, this is a must win. And we had how many of those last season where the Steelers did not win, and then they, in fact, got to the playoffs anyway. So, saying a game is a must win is sometimes just a little bit too cliche. It's overused, whatever. So, I don't want to use that term for Sunday, because if they lose, they will be 8-4, and they will still be in a pretty good position to at least make the playoffs. Now, if you say, oh, I want to be the one seed, or I want to see the Steelers win the AFC North, for those sakes, Sunday is a must win, I could meet you halfway there on that. But I don't see it as like, hey, if they don't win this game, they're not going to make the playoffs. However, they are playing a team that I think can classify under that. As we go out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, an expert on the Cincinnati Bengals in the land of Skyline Chili. It is Mo Egger who joins us here on 93.7 The Fan. Mo, would it be smart to classify Sunday's game for the Bengals as a must win?
If it's not, I don't know how it isn't. Yeah, the thing is, we've been talking about the Bengals playing must-win games since week two, right? Because they lost their first game. And when you lose your first game, you don't want to have all those numbers thrown at you about how uphill a battle it is to get to the postseason when you start 0-2. And then when you start 0-2, well, that third game's a must-win. But they lost that game, so then the fourth game became a must-win. So we've been attaching that label to every game they've had pretty much all season long. But yeah, I mean, if you just look at it mathematically, they're 4-7. If they fall to 4-8, you know they have to leapfrog three teams right now. They do get the Broncos head to head. The math gets really, really hard because then you know if they win the rest of their games after Sunday, they're 9-8. And that obviously certainly doesn't guarantee that they're in. So, sure. I don't know. I don't know how you don't categorize this as one that they absolutely, positively have to have.
Yeah, I mean, and after Sunday, I don't want to say things get easier because, you know, in the NFL, weird things always happen. But at least on paper, things get easier. I know it's two road games after Sunday, but it is against the Cowboys and against the Titans. Then it is the Browns and Broncos before that finale in Pittsburgh. So, to your point, Mo, they could very well finish 9-8, but one of these Steeler games is going to be really big because that could mean 10-7, and that could mean a playoff appearance.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. The schedule does open up just a little bit, but I mean, look at how the Bengals have played this season in games where they've been expected to win. Right? They were beaten by the New England Patriots at home week one. They were beaten by the Washington Commanders pretty soundly as 8.5-point favorites week three. Now, that Washington team has proven to be, I think, better than anybody ever would have imagined, even though they've slowed down recently. But yeah, I've heard this a lot over the last couple of weeks where folks kind of hang their hats on the fact that, well, you know, just get this one against the Pittsburgh Steelers as if that's going to be easy. And then they're home free for a while, which I think ignores that those three teams they play after Pittsburgh each won this week against playoff hopefuls. Two of them on the road. And so you're going to get good efforts from those teams. And, you know, frankly, I think focusing on the schedule sort of ignores what the real issues with this team is, which is defensively, they're a disaster. They've been one of the worst teams in the NFL all season long. They're not good in any phase. They don't have much of a pass rush outside of Trey Hendrickson. The secondary is a mess. They're not very good against the run. There's no real major difference maker in the secondary. And so, yeah, you can spend all the time in the world talking about who they play. I think the bigger issue is how they play, and specifically to this point this season, especially on defense, how poorly they've played.
Well, let's jump to that defense before we get to the Bengals offense, which has been completely, I would say, the opposite of what the defense has been. You certainly sound very low on what the Bengals defense has done this season, as do a lot of people who kind of look deep into the X's and O's of all of that. But I think there's some pause, though, with Steeler fans on this, because just a couple of weeks ago, the Steelers played what we all heard was a bad defense in Baltimore, and the Steelers did not score a touchdown. They were able to win that game with six Chris Boswell field goals, which is all well and good. But I guess there's a little bit of us just saying, all right, well, let's hold our horses here because they couldn't score a touchdown in Baltimore, and they've had slow starts out of the gate a lot this season.
Sure, yeah. I mean, you know, I think if you're a Cincinnati fan, you're looking at it going, well, that Baltimore defense that the Bengals, you know, carved up with ease in two games they lost, man, the Steelers looked not totally helpless, but we're certainly not as productive as maybe you would have thought. I guess you can hang your hat on that to a degree, but you know, the reality is they've watched some less than stellar offenses move the ball pretty well against them. You know, I thought in games they won against Cleveland and the New York Giants, those teams move the ball okay. They just don't do anything defensively in any one area very well. Now, Trey Hendrickson, an edge rusher, is outstanding. He's terrific, leads the league in sacks, or at least did coming into this week. He's been awesome. But the problem is he doesn't have any help on the defensive line. And in the secondary, not only haven't they been very good, they've been dealing with injury, right? Dax Hill has missed most of the season with an injury. He was one of the starting corners at the beginning of the season. They lost DJ Turner to a broken clavicle in the game against the Chargers last week. They had to bench Cam Taylor-Britt, who's supposed to be their best corner. What they've tried at safety in the wake of letting Jesse Bates go to Atlanta simply hasn't worked. And so, yeah, I guess on one level you go, if the Steelers couldn't move the ball and score a bunch of points against the Ravens, then, you know, maybe there's hope here in Cincinnati. But again, that's relying on things that the opponent can or can't do. I think from a defensive perspective, there's just not been a lot that has gone well. And I think what it has done is it has very much put the defensive coordinator, Lou Anarumo, in the crosshairs of not just the public, but I talked to a lot of people who seem to think that if the defensive woes continue, Bengals are going to be looking for a new DC next year.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Which is wild to me because when the Bengals were making those playoff runs with Joe Burrow, Anarumo was a name that was high among the list of like hot future head coach candidates. So like that's just a good illustration, Mo, that like just shows how much a couple of years can change things like that.
Yeah, no question. I mean, 2 years ago, we were wondering, what are the Bengals going to do if they lose Lou Anarumo? And now a lot of folks are wondering, what are they going to do when they move on from Lou Anarumo? I think a lot of people, including those in the front office, look at it like this. Lou did a great job in 2021 and 2022 with a defense that was effectively bought for him. You know, the Bengals, when they had a quarterback under a rookie contract and gobs of money to spend, they spent it on their defense. And they paid Trey Hendrickson, and they paid Von Bell, and they paid Chidobe Awuzie, and they brought DJ Reader. I mean, they overpaid some of those guys, and they had to, because the only way they were going to get some of those players to come here was going to be if they outbid everybody else. Well, they can't do that anymore, right? They've got to be more strategic with what they do in free agency, and they've got to nail it in the draft. And if you look at the last few drafts, they've gone very heavy on defense, and those players simply haven't worked out. Now, is that Lou Anarumo's fault? Maybe not necessarily, but that's going to be the MO moving forward, right? It's not going to change what they're doing on defense because they can't go back to the way they built the defense in 2021. It's going to be draft, develop, and get a lot out of those young players that they draft on defense. And so I think they look at Lou and go, well, you know what? If he hasn't been able to get it done with young players on defense, and this is going to have to be how we continue to build our defense, maybe it makes sense to find somebody who could have more success with younger players they draft on defense.
How do you assess the job that Zach Taylor has done in 2024?
Well, I think you'd have a hard time saying it's been good. I think if there's a criticism of Zach that fits, that is fair, it's that as a head coach in game, he's not great at situational football. You know, they had a game against the Baltimore Ravens this year at home where they essentially took the ball out of Joe Burrow's hands at the end of the game, settle for a field goal, lose. They had situations in the end of that game against the Chargers a week ago on Sunday where they looked totally disorganized at the end of the game offensively, had their best player on the sideline, and Zach Taylor sat there and didn't burn a timeout. I think those things have always been very, very fair criticisms of Zach, that situationally during the game, he's not great. I think, though, his overall tone setting, you know, I don't know that he gets nearly enough credit for that. I don't know that he nearly gets enough credit for keeping the team competitive when they didn't have Joe Burrow toward the end of last season. Mm-hmm. I think some of the play calling criticism is a little bit overblown. I look at Zach Taylor, for me, quite frankly, like, you could take or leave him. If he's the head coach next year, fine. And if he's not the head coach next year, fine. You know, and that sounds harsh, right? There are certain head coaches where you're like, God, there's no way that guy's going to win there. And there are certain head coaches that you go, you know what? That guy gives them a strategic advantage. I don't know that Zach does either. I think he's a good leader. I think Joe Burrow really likes him, which probably is what matters most. I frankly could sort of take or leave him, and that's hard when you have the sort of job we have, right? You got to have a strong opinion. Like, I think Zach's okay, and maybe that's not good enough, and maybe it shouldn't be good enough. But I don't think the Bengals are 4-7 mainly because of who their coach is. I think they're mainly 4-7 because they took a defense that was terrible last year and couldn't make it league average. And if they had a league average defense this season, with the way they have scored, this team would not be 4-7.
Taking a look on the other side of things for Sunday, talking to a Bengals expert, Mo Egger, here on 93.7 The Fan. Mo, just talk about how good that offense has been. It's almost a travesty, given the numbers that Joe Burrow is putting up and Ja'Marr Chase as well as his top target. And this team is 4-7. I think that's why, for me, this is the team that I am praying does not make the playoffs because of what Joe Burrow can do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's how we've kind of positioned it, right? Like, if they could just find their way in, would you want to play them? Like, if you were the Chiefs or Bills or Ravens or you know, even Pittsburgh.
Hell no.
and you see them in round one, you know, a quarterback of Joe's caliber and a team that has had recent postseason success, you don't want to see them. But it's also the frustrating part, right? Like, Joe Burrow is an MVP finalist in 2022. Statistically, he's been better this year, or 4-7. Ja'Marr Chase has been arguably the best wide receiver in the sport this season. They're 4-7. They've put Joe behind not a great offensive line, but at times a line that has played like the best that he's ever played behind. They're 4-7, right? Like, they have at times this season looked almost unstoppable offensively. I mentioned before, they've played the Ravens twice. They scored 72 points combined in both games. They didn't win either. They were unbelievable in the second half against the LA Chargers a week ago on Sunday night. Didn't win that football game. It's wasting greatness. It is inexcusable to have a quarterback playing this well with offensive weaponry that is this good and to go in December 3 games under 500.
Mo, how did you view what happened with Steelers and Browns on Thursday night? As somebody who is a voice of one of the teams in the division, being that you're in Cincinnati, did you view that as a catastrophic Steelers failure, or just chalk it up to, you know, weird things happen sometimes in the NFL on short weeks?
The weirdness of the NFL. The weirdness of the NFL when you take division foes, put them in a short week, and then add, and I've seen some describe it as a blizzard. I've been in blizzards. That wasn't a blizzard, but it was certainly a snowstorm that had an impact on the game. And so I viewed that as in a vacuum, just the randomness of the sport, the weirdness of the league, and one of those things that can happen. Now, you know, again, you referenced the Pittsburgh-Baltimore game. Having watched that one, you know, if I'm a Steelers fan, I'm wondering, you know, how, I don't want to say broken, but how much can they turn things around offensively from the way they've played the last couple of weeks? Because they didn't play the Baltimore Ravens in a snowstorm, and they're going to have to play them again, and they might have to play them a third time. So I kind of tossed out the Cleveland game, and I focused a little bit more on how they played against a Ravens defense that all season long has not been very good.
I know we're still five days out from the matchup on Sunday, but how do you feel right now about it, Mo, and what score would you put on it 5 days away?
You know, I think very highly of this Cincinnati offense, and I don't know if the bye week is going to be a hindrance to them. I think the Bengals are going to figure out a way to make this game fun and interesting, because I think offensively, regardless of who you line up out there defensively, I think offensively they're going to be able to score or at least move the ball against anybody. I just don't trust them defensively, and I just don't trust them defensively in big moments, right? 3rd and 7, let's get them off the field, get the football back to Joe Burrow, make a stop in the red zone, that sort of thing. And until I feel otherwise in a close game, I can't trust the Bengals, who have been awful at home this season. And so if you put a gun to my head and said, you know, you got to pick a side either way, I think I'd have to take the Pittsburgh Steelers.
There we go. Mo Egger from ESPN Radio in Cincinnati, an expert on the Cincinnati Bengals. Mo, thanks for taking the time today.
Okay, anytime, man.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.